Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rottler Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Molding, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The attitude that this team has had for, I think, the entire season, there's no reason to suggest that it would change because we're opening up the final homestand. We love the fact we're coming back home. That was a successful road trip, but that was a long one. National League rules this late in the season, a little bit different, but couldn't be more proud from the way we've battled back every day on that road trip. Their resilience, tremendous. Looking forward to starting this final homestand.
So there you go. John Farrell over at Fenway Park tonight before the Red Sox. Final homestand of the regular season. Tonight's game against the Toronto Blue Jays. And I actually thought, for once, the manager was spot on. Spot on. So I'll tell you what, we're going to do baseball here for the next hour. It's been a little bit, and it's obviously it was a football-heavy weekend, as it is at this time of year, but we'll open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. It's easy to lose sight of the fact that the Red Sox just had a 9-game road trip in September. 9-game road trip. Murray, do you know what their record was on that trip?
So six again, and four?
Okay, so we've all been just...
Oh, wait, no.
8-1 is the correct answer, Jim.
Smart people doing math.
No, the best part of that answer, Jimmy, is that 9-game road trip, Murray came up with 6-4.
Yeah. Whoops.
10.
Can't do math in radio for a reason.
Yes, exactly. 8-1 is the right answer.
Oh.
8-1 is the right answer. Easy to lose sight of that, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, who's really been paying attention to some of these series?
Okay. And, you know, rightfully so. Last week, obviously, we were, you know, dialed in a little bit. But once the weekend comes, football, everybody sort of disconnects again and you lose sight of what's going on. The Red Sox swept the Cincinnati Reds over the weekend. They are now 5 games up in the division with a week to play. The Yankees won this afternoon against the Kansas City Royals. In fact, Aaron Judge had 2 home runs, now has 50. Set the rookie record for home runs, if you care about that. I just mentioned that as an aside. But regardless, honestly, it doesn't matter what the Yankees do. With 2 more wins, the Red Sox will clinch a tie for the division. The magic number to win the division is 3. So as of right now, the earliest you can do that is tomorrow night. You win the next 2, the Yankees lose tomorrow, it's over. Any combination of 3 Red Sox, any combination of Red Sox wins and Yankees losses totaling 3. And it's over. You have wrapped up the division, and for all intents and purposes, this thing should be over by, like, no later than, I think, Wednesday night, maybe Thursday. Okay, this thing should be over. The Red Sox are going to be division champions, I think, or at least that's how I'm going to treat it. So here's my question to you tonight if you're a Red Sox fan. 1 week to go, where is your confidence level in the team entering the postseason now compared to where it was, say, 2 weeks ago? And the reason I ask you this is because I think it should be at a season high. Your confidence level in this team right now should be at a season high. And again, I know that it's a busy time of year in sports. Spring and fall, always absurdly busy. And we don't even do college football, really, in this market. But between the Patriots, the Bruins now in camp starting up, the Celtics had media day today, the Red Sox going down the stretch, everything sort of all rolling all at once. It's a busy time of year, and the Red Sox are about to wrap it up. The postseason will begin, presumably for them, a week from Thursday in the division series. But again, any combination totaling 3 of Red Sox wins and Yankees losses, and the American League East is the Red Sox again for the 2nd consecutive year, and for the first time in their history, they will have won consecutive division titles. And when I say your confidence level in the team, yours, because you know mine is always questionable at best. Okay, but your confidence level in the team really should be at a season high. I was going to say all-time high, but season high. Do I have to remind you what has happened for this team in the last 10 days? And really, all on this road trip, when you go back and look at it, and John Farrell alluded to it in that comment. This all started September 15th, 10 days ago, in the 9th inning at Tampa Bay.
Colome with the 0-1. Line drive, base hit. Here comes Davison. The Red Sox have tied it. Xander Bogaerts with a rocket shot.
Got a boy, Bogey.
Okay, so there you go. That game, the Red Sox are losing that game 5-2 in the ninth. They won 13-6 in 15 innings against the Tampa Bay Rays. A couple of days later, Red Sox go to Baltimore. Do you remember that one? They were down 5-0 and then 6-1.
Sox were down 5-0 and 6-1 in this one.
Yep.
Hot shot. Lined in the left. Bogart's in to score. Here comes Brock Holt. All the way to the wall. Here comes Benintendi. He scores. Mookie Betts all the way down to second. And the Red Sox are all the way back, and they have the lead. What a turnaround.
Okay, so that game went 11 innings. They won that one in 11 innings, and the next night they didn't come from behind only because nobody scored. That game went 11 innings, too. Murray, do you remember how that one ended?
Red Sox with a man at every base. Down low, it skips away. Here comes Bradley. He scores! And the Red Sox have the lead at last. Here in the 11th inning on top, 1-0. A wild pitch. And Bradley scampers home. And the Sox are on the board.
If I recall correctly, you didn't really give him credit for that one.
I didn't. I still don't. But they won it, right? Again, on a wild pitch, Jackie Bradley scores. They won that game 1-0. Again, 11 innings. So three games on that trip to start. 15, 11, and 11 innings. Then they get to Cincinnati, which looks like it's going to be a layup over the weekend because the Reds suck. They do. The Reds are awful. God, is that a bad baseball team. And you know what happened on Friday night? Rick Porcello, I told you, bad match for him in that ballpark. Right? Bad match. Gave up a grand slam in the first inning. And the Red Sox are already down 4-1 out of the gate against the Reds. And you're sort of sitting there going, okay, here we go. Now you're going to go into Cincinnati and spit the bit, right? Except that that didn't happen because, again, guess what? They came back.
And the Red Sox are rallying. They made it 4-2, looking for more. There's a drive. Deep right field. It is gone. Well, forget about driving in a run from third. How about driving in everybody? He jumped all over it. His 9th home run of the season. And the Red Sox come all the way back and then some. Devers, who has already doubled, now the 3-run homer. Now they play the infield back. They were giving him 1 run, but they didn't want that to happen.
Nope, Rafael Devers, 3-run home run. Red Sox go ahead 5-4. David Price comes out of the bullpen. Murray, again, in relief of Porcello. Red Sox who wanted to win the game.
He was pretty good in that 2-2.
He was good, absolutely. Even got a hit that night, and you saw something you never see, which is David Price actually smiled, if you can believe it or not.
Having a good time.
Might be the first time we've seen him smile since that introductory press conference at Fenway Park. Really, if you were to go back and look at it. So then yesterday comes along, and by this point, all the drama has been sucked out of the American League division race because the Red Sox are now up 5. Fine, no problem. They fall behind to the Reds, and I'm sort of sitting there and I'm saying, okay, no big deal. You lose the finale to Cincinnati. It doesn't matter. You come home, you're still up 4. You take care of business. Except, you know what? The Red Sox didn't pack up shop. In the 8th inning, down again. 3 runs in the 8th. This time the score was 4-1 when Mookie Betts bailed him out again.
So once again, the Red Sox late in the game coming from behind. Here's a trickler. Suarez to glove it. Betts rounding third. Throw is off target. Here's the throw home. He dives. He's safe. Mookie Betts steals one right back from Cincinnati. Boy, what an inning for number 50. And the Red Sox are out in front. A spectacular base running play.
So the Red Sox win that one again, 5-4. Those are the scores this weekend in Cincinnati. 5-4, 5-zip, 5-4. And in between, Eduardo Rodriguez made his case for the number 3 spot in the playoff rotation. And again, the postseason starts a week from Thursday. But in any case, the bottom line, boy, when you go through that road trip, one comeback win after the next. One comeback win after the next. And so all of a sudden you look at it and you say, you know what? Maybe they got a shot. Maybe they got a shot. Maybe, you know, there's good resiliency there. There's good fight there, persistence, a good bullpen, a team that can score runs in lots of different ways, whether it's Rafael Devers hitting the ball out of the ballpark in a place like Cincinnati, which admittedly is a launching pad, or Mookie Betts and the base running that we have all been so critical of all season long, scoring from second again on an infield hit. Has that happened on more than one occasion this year? Was there an occasion early in the year where Betts scored, someone scored from second on a ball hit in the infield?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? This has happened more than once.
Billy Hamilton was more impressive.
Okay. So again, this is my question to you as a Red Sox fan. Shouldn't you if you are a true believer in the team, shouldn't your confidence in them right now be as high as it has been all year long? In fact, higher than it has been all year long? Because if I were you, that's how I would feel. Me, I'm hopeless. And I say that with all the love in my heart. I always fear the beginning of the postseason, and give me a day or two. And in fact, I already feel that way now. But honestly, if you're feeling good about this team, I want you to celebrate it. You should celebrate it because they had a hell of a road trip. 8-1. And that's five games that I gave you where they didn't come behind from behind in all five, only because one of them was 0-0 in the 11th. But the other four, down 5-2, down 6-1, down 4-1. Down 4-1, they came back to win them all. Three of them went to extra innings. They won them all. 16-4 in interleague play. They've been fabulous in extra innings. All of that. 1 week to go. Magic number is 3. The Red Sox are at home against the Blue Jays. And then the Astros, whom they may very well face in the first round of the playoffs, and then postseason baseball will return to Fenway Park next week, certainly at the end of next week or the beginning of the week after, depending on Game 3 with the Red Sox and Astros. 617-779-0985.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But first, I want to get back to your calls. And again, if I were you, and I were a blindly optimistic Red Sox fan, and I am not, as you know, okay, and most Red Sox fans are not, but if you are hardcore and you are blindly optimistic, your confidence in this team right now should be at a season high. It really should. They went on a 9-game road trip. They went 8-1 while the Yankees were rattling off wins and the Red Sox kept winning. They got behind over and over and over again, and they kept coming back and winning games. Again, we just rattled off a few of them for you there in the last segment. The opener of the trip, down 5-2 in the ninth against the Rays. They tied it. They went to 15 innings. They won. 3 days later, down 5-0 and 6-1 against the Orioles in the fifth inning. They rallied for 6 runs. They went ahead 7-6. Then they gave back the lead. Then they came back and tied. They win that game in extra innings. The next night, 0-0 against the Orioles in the 11th. They won that game 1-0. Then to Cincinnati, down 4-1 in the first inning. Very first inning of the series on Friday night. Porcello gives up a grand slam. They come back. They win that game. And yesterday, Mookie Betts clears the bases, ties the game, then scores from second on a ground out. They win that game 5-4 after being down 4-1. Over and over and over at crunch time, even if it's against bad competition, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, they have come back and they have won. I think they're something like, what, 15-5 in September?
They're 14-3 in their last 17, and that's since the 19-inning game September 5th against the Blue Jays.
I mean, your confidence level in the Red Sox, if you are one of these people who thinks that I am an absolute pessimist, that I am an antagonist, that I'm cynical and negative and all of that, you should be wanting to stuff it in my face right about now, because they are pulling out wins every way imaginable.
They're plus 55 in run differential. That's 6 runs a game in their last 17.
Joseph's in a car. Joseph, what do you got?
Tony, we talked 3 weeks ago, and we talked last week. And I know you had a lot of bugs in your belly about the bullpen. And I think the reason why the Red Sox are where they are right now, they always could hit, but I think the reason is the bullpen. Now, you know, you were talking, you were really down on Bonzi. And I try to tell you, he's not a Kelvin Schiraldi. And I think this bullpen really come together at the right time. As you know, Tony, timing's everything. And you couldn't get a better bullpen right now in all of baseball. All of baseball. Baltimore owned these guys. They were 10-6.
Okay, so Joseph, look, the bullpen's been good all year. Okay, the bullpen's been good all year. But if we're talking about timing and peaking, I think the Indians are what, 27-1 in their last 28 games? So if you want to play that game, we can say, okay, fine, then, you know, the Cleveland's going to win it. I'm just telling you, stick to the Red Sox. Okay, let's stick to the Red Sox and how they've played. And I'm not sure they have a great offense. I'm not sure they really have a great bullpen in spite of what the numbers say. But you know what? The bottom line is, of late, they just keep winning. They've won in a lot of different ways here in recent weeks or recent games. They've won on a wild pitch. They've won on home runs. They've won on relief pitching. They've won a lot of different ways here in the last 10 days. 8-1 on that road trip with the Yankees trying to turn up the heat, and the Red Sox wouldn't let them. Richard's in Providence. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, Max?
Good.
I just want to let you know I'm ecstatic that the Red Sox are in the position they're in. They're doing phenomenal. Their heart is in the right place. Their fight is. All they do is fight. They don't give up. They win, they win, they win, especially in them extra innings. I just got a quick question for you, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay, go.
This guy Price, we've been through a lot with him. A lot of BS. You think he wants it? You think he wants to go all the way? Or what do you think? I mean, I don't know about this guy. I mean, he's in, he's out. Has attitudes.
So, Richard, you know, look, yeah, here's what I would tell you about Price. If he doesn't want to win it, then he's got to find something else to do. Okay, but with regard to the members of the Red Sox, there is nobody that has more to gain from a good October than David Price, including John Farrell. Farrell's got a ring. Farrell's got one. He might get fired here. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. Who knows? But he's already won a championship, and he won others here as a pitching coach. So, and I'm not telling you it's the same thing, but Farrell at least can walk away saying, hey, I want a title here. Some of these young guys have long futures ahead of them. But Price, after the way this thing has gone here, Price has more to gain than anybody else in that club. Miles is in Marlboro.
Hey, Tony. I guess to get to your point about confidence, I think the reason that my confidence is sky high is just because the Red Sox were so hyped up this year with all the acquisitions and all the talent that's surrounding us, that I think that if, since they're not shooting the moon all the time, it feels a little bit underwhelming sometimes, even though in realistic terms they've been fantastic. But for me, going forward in the postseason, I think the mistakes are going to come into play. You've got to be perfect almost in the postseason, and the Red Sox tend to make stupid mistakes in the postseason. And then the last thing is, I really don't want Manny, Hanley Ramirez in the lineup. I think we're better off without him.
Okay, so Miles, look, the stupid mistakes concern me too, and I told you, collectively, I look at the bullpen and I say, wow, the numbers are astronomical. They're fabulous. The Red Sox have lost fewer games than any bullpen in baseball. They win a ton of games in the bullpen, which again, go by bullpen one-loss records. As much as it's easy to look at ERA, go by the one-loss records, because that really tells you everything you need to know. Fewest relief losses in the game. Which means when they come in, when it's tied or they're ahead, they're blowing fewer games than any bullpen in the game. End of story. That simple. And then the wins on top of it means they're holding the opposition down, giving their offense a chance to come back and win games, so the relievers are piling up wins. And, you know, I think it's interesting because I tend to look at the Red Sox and always see the flaws. Again, not that that should surprise you. If you listen to this program, you know I tend to really pick at it. And I generally am that way about most teams, but especially the local ones because those are the ones I watch every day. So I thought it was interesting that Mark DeRosa, who I think is a good baseball guy, a good analyst, and works for the MLB Network, he was on with Chris Mad Dog Russo today on High Heat, on Mad Dog Show on the MLB Network. And DeRosa was asked about the playoff field in the American League. Okay, here's what he said about the Red Sox.
I think Boston's scary to me. I think they've laid in the weeds. I think with the addition of Price and him buying in, going to the bullpen, I think John Farrell can unload a bunch of weapons from Joe right. Kelly to David Price to Craig Kimbrell. I know I'm leaving a few guys out. Pomerantz has had a big, sneaky season for this team. They got a pass-the-baton mentality on offense. They're not going to be waiting around for the three-run homer. They're going to manufacture runs with Benintendi, and Mookie Betts is hot at the right time. I think Boston, they've held off the Yanks. The Yanks came fast and furious this last month at them.
Good point. Heck, you know, the Red Sox not getting enough credit for that. That's another. They may have gotten all the signs,
yeah.
But they've done an excellent job of playing very well 14-4 here.
Okay, so let me just ask you a quick question on the heels of that comment. Like, a guy like Mark DeRosa looks at the Red Sox, and sometimes we get too close to it, Murray.
Sure.
right? You watch a team play every day. You see all the flaws. You see all the mistakes. And as I said, every team has them.
And maybe they're bigger than, you know, that they we make more out of them than they actually are.
Right, because I guarantee you that if we were in Cleveland, we'd be picking at the Indians.
Sure.
We would be. We'd be picking at the Indians. And I know they're picking at the Dodgers in L.A. with the way they're stumbling to the finish line. And so you can look all over the place and find flaws with everybody. So a guy like DeRosa says, you know, you look at that lineup, and they don't rely on the three-run homer. They have aggressive base runners. They got a lot of guys who can put the ball in play, take an extra base if you make a mistake. And so I wonder, is the Red Sox offense in the postseason actually an asset, not a liability? So that's a question I want to examine in the next segment. And in fact, we'll probably examine it for much of the week because it's an interesting way to look at it. I can give you examples of teams that didn't hit home runs, but that slapped the ball around and put them in play and won championships as a result of it, because against good pitching, it's hard to sit around and wait for a three-run homer.
Well, the Kansas City Royals immediately come to mind just in recent years.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the easy one.
Yeah.
That is. That's the easy one. Murray's Get Your Headlines. We'll continue with your calls when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That'll be dependent upon how the usage from this point forward takes place. Likely wouldn't go to him tonight for another day of rest after 40 pitches the other night. We would only pitch him back-to-back if there was an outing in which it was 12 pitches or less. And he was available the next night. But in the two outings in which he's pitched, that's probably more the role that I envision. Not to say that that couldn't change going forward, but that was a big 2 2/3 innings the other night. Bridged the gap to Addison and to Craig, and it worked well.
The Red Sox will likely open at Houston a week from Thursday in Game 1. I'm presuming that one is going to be Chris Sale and Justin Verlander. I suppose there's a chance it could be Chris Sale and Dallas Keuchel. But in all probability, Verlander. And but, you know, we'll worry about that when it's official. The Red Sox are going to wrap up the division here in the next few days. They should. Magic number is 3. They're up 4.5 now, 5 in the loss column with a week to go. This thing should be cemented. And to me, there is an interesting question as this all relates to Price, who had another good relief outing on Friday night, the game that Rick Porcello allowed a grand slam in the first inning. Price get in there, 2 2/3. Held the fort. Red Sox get to the late-inning relievers, Addison Reed, Craig Kimbrell. They shut that thing down. They win it 5-4. And so you heard Farrell say there that they're not going to use Price on back-to-back games unless he has an outing where he throws like 12 pitches. And he doesn't feel the need to use Price on back-to-back nights at all here during the regular season. So it does raise the question of whether or not the Red Sox look at him as, well, if we're going to use him, we're going to use him for 2 or 3 innings in one game, and then he's going to get the next night off. Okay, so I want you to think about that for a second, because I was just having a discussion with our producer, Jimmy Stewart, about it. And we're going to – I stopped Jimmy because I want to have the discussion with him on the air, because I think it's it leads you to a logical place. Okay, it leads you to a logical place. But we'll do that in just a second. I do want to squeeze in a couple of calls. My buddy Angelo's in Methuen. Go ahead, Angelo.
Hi, Tony. How you doing?
Good. What do you got, pal?
Okay, I got a question and a comment. The question is, and I know you're going to get mad at me, what do you think about JBJ winning the Gold Glove this year? He's only made 4 errors, right? Benintendi made 7.
Okay, what's your comment?
He should win a Gold Glove this year, right, Bradley?
I would think so. I mean, he's in the running, certainly, Angelo. You'll never hear me argue again. He's that good.
Okay, one other thing. The gentleman that does the Nesson pregame and postgame show, right, off the top, he says Benintendi's going to be Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I think, who's that, Tom Caron?
Yeah.
Okay, so look, I'll tell you, if Tom Caron's saying that Benintendi's going to be Rookie of the Year, that'd be smoking crack. I don't know what Tom's on these days, and I love him. But Aaron Judge is going to be the Rookie of the Year.
How does he not lock that up after hitting 50 home runs more?
So he hit 2 more today to set a rookie record, so now he's at 50.
Team broadcaster.
And you know what? He should be the Rookie of the Year. He should be the Rookie of the Year. Aaron Judge has been, you know, okay, so he went into a funk there for a little while. Take a look at Benintendi from May through July. Okay, Benintendi over about half the season hit 230. So let's not delude ourselves and let's all of a sudden start ripping Aaron Judge because he had a bad 2 months. Benintendi had a bad 3 months, if you really want to look at it. Let's go to Scott, who's in the car. Scott, quickly.
Condolences. I'm wondering which coach is responsible for the base running, scheming, practice, spring training. Which coach is that?
My guess, Scott? I don't know which one handles it. My guess is that it would be Ruben Amaro. He's the first base coach. Typically, that would fall in that area because I think Butterfield works on defense. But go ahead.
I thought the same. But I was wondering what you think the dynamic might be with the coaching staff involved with the manager and the players. I think you hit the nail on the head that the manager is saying, guys, I got it. Let me take all the heat. But the clubhouse is still a mess. I mean, they're playing good ball now, but you know, obviously something's going on. And if, can I ask a question about Dustin Pedroia? I've been thinking about since May.
You got to go fast.
Do you think he's done? You know, he seems so focused on his post-baseball persona and his character and his image. I mean, what does he have, 3 or 4 years left? I don't know. I don't think he's going to see it through.
So, Scott, the knee injury with Pedroia worries me because if he can't play second base, I don't know if he gives you enough offensively to be a DH, especially with some of the other candidates you have. The base running with the Red Sox is an ongoing problem. Okay, and again, there've been fewer outs of late, so we don't focus on it when they don't make mistakes. But somewhere in the postseason, you can't help but think that they're going to just make a colossal blunder and really hurt themselves. I want to take one more call because Mike in a car wants to rip me for being critical and skeptical of the Red Sox. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Maz, all summer the message was bashing the Red Sox, the pitching, the head coaching, the front office, the base running. Hey, they're winning. They're going to win the division. You got to grovel more. It killed you just to say anything positive.
So, Mike, let me ask you a question. If they win the division and then lose in the first round, is that a good year?
It's not a bad year.
Is it a good year?
It's not a bad year. So
is it a good year?
It depends how they are getting. If they go to 7 and it's a competitive series, then it's good. I could see it as a good year.
Okay.
Got a lot of young players.
Okay.
Really young.
Yeah, so let me answer the question for you. It's not. It's a failure. Okay, this team was supposed to win the division. They're supposed to challenge for a world championship. That's what this whole thing was built for. Yes, they have young players, but how long are we going to say that before we acknowledge that some of them are now closer to middle age? You didn't trade for Chris Sale to make the playoffs. You traded for Chris Sale to win a World Series. So, listen, the regular season, success. Success. They had a good regular season, and they closed it out here in September. I give them credit for that. Because in September, you know, all of a sudden everybody's butts can get a little tight. It can happen. I've seen it happen a lot. Hell, it happened in 2011. But this team this year took care of business. They went 8-1 down the stretch. Which brings me back to David Price now and his addition to the bullpen and how they're going to use him. And Jimmy Stewart, you said, let's continue this conversation that we were having off the air. What is your thought on Price in the bullpen?
Well, I heard this on Carrabba's Section 10 podcast. He hypothesized that Porcello and Price would be a combo game. They'd start Porcello and David Price would be the first one out of the bullpen to start the next clean inning. So Porcello gets in trouble in, say, the fourth inning. Robbie Scott comes in, finishes the inning, and then David Price continues forward until he's reached his pitch maximum.
Okay, so he would be like a backup plan as a starter, right? Which is often what they used to call it. We would
starter B.
Okay.
I mean, outside of Robbie Scott being out of the equation, that's essentially what you saw Friday night.
Okay, so he backed him up, right? And this is how the baseball people would say it. We're going to start Porcello with Price backing him up, meaning as soon as the guy gets into trouble, or sometimes you do it with a guy who has an injury, you know, he's only going to give us 50 pitches, then we're going to bring in this guy to back him up. Okay, so that effectively it is. It's a combo.
It's a Cy Young game, is what it is.
It's a combo start. Is what it is. One guy goes first, the other guy comes in, you get 6 innings out of him combined, you're happy. So, Jimmy, how does this affect how you would handle Price in the postseason?
Well, it leads me to think that Rick Porcello is your game 2 starter.
Good.
So that it goes Sale, Porcello / Price, and then Price, depending on what happens in that combo start, is available for 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
Any one of those games.
So I don't go quite as far as you do to say that Porcello is game 2. But it does make me wonder whether they would consider putting Pomeranz 3rd, right? So think about it, Murray. If you can only pitch Price every other day, why not split up your more reliable starters and pitch them in the middle. However, remember that after game two of the playoffs is an off day. So that, in theory, you could pitch Price
in game three.
Right. You could still...
I'd rather you go with it that way. Just do it the way it's supposed to be. Come on, don't overthink this. It should be Sale, Pomeranz, and then if you want to do this bridge start with Porcello, who'll get ripped up within the first three or four innings, and then you have Robbie Scott come in and then use David Price.
Okay, so Murray, I'm with you. To me, you always go with your best guys first. Don't start dinking around.
It shouldn't even be Porcello anyway. What did you make of his comments that he said on Friday night? I have them here real quick.
Jimmy, if
you want to pull me up, because I thought this really drove me crazy.
Obviously, I've been an American League player my whole career, and I'm not going to stand here and say I know the ins and outs of National League Baseball and that sort of thing. But, you know, when you have the lead, you usually don't come out of the game. So I was pretty frustrated with that, but I think we won the game, and that's all that matters. Great win. Bullpen did a hell of a job. They've been doing a hell of a job.
I just thought this was so selfish. He got his face ripped off in the first inning by Scooter Gennett, right? Gennett, or however the hell you say the guy's name. Hits the grand slam off of him.
Four home run guy.
And okay, so Rafael Devers saves your ass, hits a 3-run home run, and you have a 5-4 lead, and you had a pretty decent fourth inning. And what's he upset about? That he wasn't coming up in the order until, you know, probably late in the fifth, and so he didn't understand why he was coming out so early? You didn't look all that good, buddy. You're out. We have to start working in David Price. I just didn't think he was thinking big picture here, and it came off to me as extremely selfish.
Yeah, most of them never do think big picture because baseball players
it's an inherently selfish game,
yeah,
sure.
Genetically, they are selfish. Most of them are. In that sport, the rare ones aren't. Even the ones that, along the way, you don't think are selfish end up being selfish. I learned that the hard way. And again, I don't necessarily rip them all for it. I just, the ones that are truly team players are a rarity in that game, and they're the reason why we like them so much. So what I would say to Porcello is, you don't want to get pulled? Pitch better.
Don't suck.
Okay, pitch better. Rick Porcello doesn't have a leg to stand on. I decided, first of all, I felt this way last week when the discussion came up about who pitches game three. Because I am going Price and then Pomeranz. I mean, Sale Pomeranz. Good God. I'm going Sale game one, Pomeranz game two. After that, and I said this last week, Eduardo Rodriguez is my game three starter, and he had a good outing on Saturday. They won that game 5-0. I think he went 7 2/3, right? So now all of a sudden everybody says, oh, well, there's Eduardo Rodriguez. I felt that way anyway, because I'm certainly not putting Porcello in for game three, and Price is in the bullpen. So where else are you going? Doug Fister? No, thanks. I'll go Rodriguez. I'll take a chance on his stuff. To me, that was the way to go. I want Rodriguez in game three. Then Porcello in game four. But Price's role in the bullpen does factor in here in some way. Because in the middle three games, or at least the middle two there, and I got to check and see if there's a day off between game four and five. I think they add one now. Okay, before, they didn't used to have a day off between game four and five in the division series. Now I think they have one there. So really, with Price, you could pitch him three games in this series if you wanted to. You could pitch Price in game one or two, and then an off day. You could pitch him in three or four, and then an off day if there is, in fact, an off day after game four. And then you'd have him available for game five. For the Red Sox, that is a huge thing. It gets a little trickier in a seven-game series because you'd have three games in the middle with no days off. You play 3, 4, 5 in succession, and you might only be able to use them for one of those games if you don't want to use them on back-to-back.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.